As you know, on the first Sunday of the month is our first fruit Sunday, where we take our first fruits. And I decided that I would use the first Sunday to do a series on Christian stewardship. And this is the second one that I'm doing, Christian stewardship. So this will be part two. And my subtitle will be What We Give to God. What We Give to God. When I started the part one, I defined who a steward is. And I said that a steward is a person employed to manage another's property or resources. And so a steward is not an owner. A steward is a caretaker or an agent of a principal. A Christian steward, therefore, our Christian stewardship is how Christians manage God's gifts and resources. The management of the life that God has given to us, the resources, the talent, the opportunities He has given to us, how we manage it is Christian stewardship. But I'm focusing more on how we manage the money that God has given to us, because money is very important in our worship of the Lord. And in part one, we looked at why we give to God. And I gave you biblical reasons of why we give to God. So we will look at what we give to God in this part two. Now, when it comes to our offerings, what we give to God or what we should give to God can sometimes be a very vexatious subject. People have very strong opinions of what kind of offering should be given, what should not be given. Should we give to church? Should we give to charity? Should we not give at all? What about all the people who are dishonest with God's money? So people have strong opinions on what we give to God. But I think to answer that question of what we should be giving to God, we have to ask a more fundamental question of who determines what we give to God? Who determines it? Because if we want to know what to give to God, we have to ask ourselves, who determines it? Should the Christians determine what they give to God all by themselves? Who sets the standard for what we give to God? Is it our church? Is it our income? Is it our preference? Or God? Who determines what we should be giving? Because if we determine that, then we can now determine what it is that we should be giving to God. The simple answer is that the one who receives what we give is the one who determines what we should give. So even though in the Bible, giving is free will and we give as we want and as we are led, God determines what we give because He determines what He accepts and what He does not accept. So because He has the power to reject and to accept, we can say that He is the one who determines what we give. And, at the time I got married, people gave wedding presents based on what they wanted to give. And so people will attend a wedding, and if it's a wedding present, normally a wedding table is set out. I think they still do. And people go out to the wedding table and give a present. And I remember that after our wedding, and after the honeymoon, we came to unwrap, my wife and I came to unwrap our wedding presents. And then we realized that most of the presents that people had given to us were drinking glasses. Whether they wanted us to drink a lot of water or probably drink something else. So, the question is, what do you do with all these drinking glasses? So, here is people trying to give us something. We didn't determine what they should give. They gave us what they wanted to give, and what they wanted to give, wasn't what we wanted. So it's always important that the receiver has a determination of what we give. I understand that now couples will indicate the kind of presents they want for their wedding. People open gift registries, and then some people also note it on their wedding invitation cards. So anyway, so the first point I want to make on what we should give to God, or what we give to God, is that God determines what he wants us to give to him. That's the first point. God determines what he wants us to give to him. We don't determine it. The church doesn't determine it. Our income doesn't determine it. Our preference doesn't determine it. God determines what he wants us to give. That's what we have to get right from the onset. God determines what he wants us to give. Genesis chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. This is God speaking to Abraham when he had promised Abraham that he was going to give him the land that he was living on as his inheritance and to his descendants. So in verse 8, and he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said to him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And then in Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 to 3, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze.'" Well, it goes on a little bit to list a few more. But if you note at this one, especially the one in Exodus, God says they will give it willingly. Let them give it willingly from his heart. It's a free will offering. But the fact that it's a free will offering doesn't mean you should just give whatever you want. This is what I want you to give. And he gives them exactly what he wants them to give, although it's a free will offering. And when God spoke to Abraham, he also gave him specifics. So God determines what we should give to him. We give what he asks us to give. We don't give what we just feel like giving, but we give because God has specifications, specific instructions, and we give what he asks us to give. And throughout the scripture, you find this pattern repeated over and over, God determining what should be given to him. And whatever we give to God must please him. What we give must please God. If we consider that our offering is to God, then it must please him. It must not be like receiving wedding presents and not knowing what to do, whether to put them in a storage or distribute them or give them to somebody else, because the people didn't know what you want. So God tells us what he wants, and we give the things that he's asked us to give and what pleases him. So that's the first point, determining what we give to God. God determines what we give to him. Second point, what we give to God must come from what we have. What we give to God must come from what we have. We cannot give what we don't have. We cannot give if it is not ours. What we give to God comes out of what the Lord has given to us. So when God asked Abraham to give a sacrifice of the animals he mentioned, Abraham already had those animals. God had blessed him with those animals. He had a lot of them. And God said, give these specific ones. They were things he already had. When the Lord asked the children of Israel to give him the gold and the silver and the bronze and the purple and all of those things, they were things that they already had. They didn't have to go and pick it from somebody, borrow it or loan it or sadly probably steal it. They had to give what they have. So what we give to God is determined by God, and what we give to God comes from what we already have. If you don't have it, you don't have it. But if you have it, then God makes demands based on what we already have. It doesn't mean he's going to collect everything, but you have it, and so he's going to ask you based on what he has given to you. If you believe that God is the one who gave you what you have, then he has a say to make a demand on what he has given to you. So what we have comes from different sources. How do we determine what we have? I'll give you three ways in which we have what we have. What we have could be an income. An income. An income is the wages we are paid. And this can be likened to what we receive regularly after we have worked. Some receive income every day. They call it by day. Some receive it every week. Some receive it monthly, which is a normal in Ghana. Some receive it quarterly. Some actually receive their income annually because of the kind of business that they are doing. Whatever your particular time of receiving income, you give to God who has blessed you with what you have. So the income is the first source of what we give to God. Income includes also bonuses. The second source of what we have is our interest. And interest is profit from our investments. We give to God when our investments yield profit and includes what we have gained from treasury bills, from bonds, from dividends on shares, royalties, and other monies that come from our talent working for us or money working for us. In the income, you work for it. In the interest, your money works for you. So whether you are working to receive an income or your money is working to give you an interest, what you have is what God is going to ask you to give to him. The third is inheritance. Inheritance has to do with assets that have been passed on to us. This is where you reap where you have not sown. It could come in a generational transfer of wealth to you, houses, land, jewelry, trust funds, and other monetary instruments. So, when we are talking about what to give to God, first, God determines what we give to him. Second, what we give to God is based on what we already have. And what we already have comes from our income, interest on investments, and inheritance, assets that are passed on to us. So those are the two major points we have made. The third important point I want you to note is that what we give to God must honor him. What we give to God must honor him. And that's very important. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. I know most of you thought I was going to Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10. But no. Malachi 1:6. Say Malachi, but 1:6. And this is what God said to Israel before he even talked about bring the tithe. This is what he said. This is the foundation of all that we do for God. He says in Malachi 1:6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Whatever we give to God must honor him. If he is our father, where is his honor? If he is our master, where is his honor? If he is our healer, where is his honor? If he is the baptizer, where is his honor? If he is our deliverer, where is his honor? Because what we give to God must honor him. It must honor him. We don't give just to show off to people or to check a church register or to fulfill a church obligation. We give to honor God. He tells us what to give. What we give comes from what we have, and what we give must honor God. Honor is at the heart of our relationship with God. In fact, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the whole concept of the Ten Commandments is based on honor. Honoring God and honoring other people's property. Honoring God and honoring other people. God's relationship with us is an honor relationship. He honors us. And that is why he has grace and mercy extended to us. That's why Jesus died for us. That's why he didn't allow some lesser being to die for us. God gave his best to us. And when we give to God, what we give to God must honor him. Must honor him. We must be mindful that this is for God and it must honor him. There are people who see giving as charity. As a matter of fact, you look outside the church, giving is called charity. And charity has to do with giving out of mercy. And so whenever we are giving charity, it means we are having mercy on somebody else. So when we have mercy on somebody else, then the person we are giving to is more or less a beggar. So when you give charity, you are giving to a beggar, somebody whom you must have mercy on. That's charity giving, mercy on the person. And that's what people do, you know, they give to beggars and they give to all kinds of people, going to give to an orphanage. You're not giving to honor the orphans. You're giving because you have mercy on them. When you give to a beggar by the roadside, you're not giving to honor. You're giving because you have mercy on them. And as it is said, a beggar has no choice. And because beggars have no choice, they can't tell you what they want you to give to them. Although a few beggars can reject your giving if you give money to them by the roadside. So, if we honor God, do we give it by give him charity? No. Is God a beggar that we must give to? No. He owns everything. So, in the biblical sense, our giving to God is not charity. It's not a mercy giving. Our giving to God is honor. In the first offering in the Bible, that is the offering of Cain and Abel, God determined which of the two offerings he accepts and which one he rejected. And he accepted the offering of Abel, but did not accept the offering of Cain. And why? Because it is based on honor. Honor. One gave to honor God, the other gave as an obligation. What we give to God must honor him. For something to honor God, it must be first. It must be first. It must not be the bottom. It must be the top. Whenever God blesses us, we must give first to him. That's the way to honor him. That means immediately God blesses us, we must ring fence his portion before we start spending. That's the way to honor God. To say, this portion is for God. And even if I don't get to give it immediately, I have ring-fenced it. It belongs to God. And it's the first. So, in your mind, your first expenditure is what you give to God. That's the way you honor him. Not what you give after everything is done. That's dishonor. That's dishonor. So, for it to honor God, it must be first. That is what Abel did. He took of the firstlings of his flock. The first. And then it must be worthy. Worthy. That means it must be acceptable. It must have the weight of the person you are giving to. And that's what the Bible says about Abel's offering. The firstlings and their fat. A worthy portion. A worthy portion. He looked at whom he was giving the offering to and determined What I am giving is to God, and it must meet his weight. You can't just give to God haphazardly. It must be, first, it must be worthy. If we give an offering that does not honor God, we would have fulfilled a church obligation. We would have filled that envelope. We would have done something. But in the eyes of God, there is no honor. Now, honor doesn't mean give all your money to God. But in your own consciousness and in your own conscience, in your spirit, you have to determine, is this an honor? Is this? God says, if I'm your father, where is my honor? If I'm the master, where is my honor? Is this honor? Is it honor? Years ago, I read the story of a family which had invited a traveling preacher for dinner. And this was a preacher in the neighborhood, in the area, who went from town to town, village to village, to preach. And people liked him, and people liked to do something to support him. So this family invited this itinerant traveling minister or preacher to come home for dinner, which is a good thing. I mean, the preacher is being honored by the family. They want to honor him and thank him for the work he's doing. So they say, come home for dinner, preacher. So they decided that day to prepare chicken for dinner. And when they went through their chicken farm, they had all kinds of chicken, very strong, all kinds of chicken. You have to choose one. And then, one of the chickens, unfortunately, sadly, had an eye disease. So these people said, well, you know, he's a preacher. He doesn't mind. He doesn't care. And after all, the eye disease doesn't affect the meat of the chicken. The chicken thigh is not affected by the eye, you know. So they picked the diseased chicken and made a meal from it. Did it smell as good as an undiseased chicken? Yes. Was the meat as delicious as one which was not diseased? Yes. But they knew in their heart how they determine what to give. That's where honor comes in. So, well, they sat at dinner to have a table to have the dinner. And as a normal, they had to pray. So they asked the preacher to pray. And strangely, as he started praying, God just spoke to him that the eye of the chicken was diseased. And so he stopped in the middle of his prayer and said to the people, God says, why did you give to him the diseased chicken? Of course, I don't think the chicken was eating that day. But the reality, and this is a story I read years ago. But the reality is, from a very functional point of view, you can say, does it matter? Does it matter? It matters because it's a matter of the heart. For you to go out there and say, I'm going to give to God. But in giving to God, I'm going to give something that I feel me myself will not want to eat, I'll give to God. It's like going to, if in Ghana, if you're going to have a traditional wedding and you go to your in-laws' place and you have to pay all the things that they make you pay. Can you imagine if you bring some of those tattered CD notes from the marketplace and smelly city notes and say, well, money is money. It doesn't matter. Do you think they'll be happy and give you their daughter for you to marry? Because most times when people are going to do that, they change whatever dirty money they have into fresh notes. Is the value the same? Yes. What does it mean? Honor. So when we give to God, it's not just so much about money. It's about honor. And if it's honor, it must be first, and it must be worthy. Fourth point. What we give to God must cost us something. What we give to God must cost us something. First Corinthians chapter 21, verse 24. First Chronicles, Old Testament. Chapter 21, verse 24. Then King David said to Ornan, "But no, I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings which cost me nothing. It is not for nothing that offerings are called sacrifice." When we give, we are sacrificing. Our offering must be sacrificial. And anything that is sacrificial costs us. When we sacrifice, it means we are doing something that is costing us. Something that makes us feel that virtue has gone out of us. So we cannot give to God that which costs us nothing. Almost as if you just give and it means nothing to you. Jesus saw people giving a lot of money in the offering basket, and Jesus said it meant nothing to them. It meant nothing to them. To the receivers, it's a lot because it's a lot of money. But to the giver, he knows I could dispense of this without feeling anything. What we give to God must cost us something. We must feel it when we give that we have done something that cost us. And our offering must be intentional. It must be sacrificial. It must be intentional. We must be mindful of what we are giving and when we give it. And we cannot give without pausing to think about what it is that we are doing or that we are giving. So you would notice that in all this message, I've not talked about tithes. I've not talked about first fruits. Because those are not really the most important things. People, should we give tithe? Should we not give tithe? The important thing is to know the spirit behind what you are giving. Because sometimes people argue about whether tithe is Old Testament or New Testament. And I ask the question, what is the purpose of this debate? Is it to tell you so that you don't give at all? Or so that you can give less? People say, well, I want to give what I want. And anytime they say that, they just want to say, I want to give less. It is not born out of an attitude to say, I want to give us some less, so I'm going to give 10 times more. No, they want to do nothing. If you say God is your God, I'm not talking about people who don't love God, people who don't trust God, people who say they don't really believe in the Bible. They have no obligation to honor God because they don't trust him. They don't believe in him. But you trust him. You go to him in prayer. You go to him to help you. You go to him to deliver you. You go to him in the morning. You go to him in the evening. You go to him in the afternoon. You pray for your children. You pray for your business. If he is your father, then what you give to him must cost you something. The fifth and final point is that what we give to God reveals who we are. In the end, our offering is the biggest snapshot of who we are. Our offering is an x-ray picture of who we really are. In 1 John, not John chapter 1, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. 1 John is in the New Testament, is describing what Cain and Abel did in the Old Testament. And this is how the writer portrays what happened back then. It says, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." When Cain and Abel gave their offering, this is how God saw it. Cain's offering testified that he was evil. Is it possible for your offering to show that you are evil? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, 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 yes. When our offering doesn't honor God, it's evil. Cain's offering was evil. His works were evil. And Abel's offering testify that he was righteous. His brothers was righteous. How? Because one honors God, it is righteous. One does not honor God, it is evil. So, Christian stewardship. What do we give to God? We know why, but what do we give to him? What we give to God is determined by God himself. What we give to God comes from what we have, what he has blessed us with. What we give to God must honor him. What we give to God must cost us something. And what we give to God reveals who we are. I am persuaded you are not evil. But perchance, if you have acted in a way that portrays your evil heart towards God, today is a good time to repent and say, Lord, I want to give to you out of all the blessings you have given to me. I want to honor you for your blessing upon my life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you. You are our Father, and we honor you. You are our Master, and we honor you. And help us as your children to approach you with honor, to approach you with respect. That in all that we do, we will honor you. So when we appear before you with our prayer and our supplication, we will be acceptable before you. Help us, Lord, in all that we do, not to be argumentative givers, but to be cheerful givers who give because we know why we give and who give because we know what we must give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And I trust that you'll be a doer of this word and not a hearer only.